and welcome to C3 Church, Bridgman Downs. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
Confessions of a Dangerous Mind. How many know that if you have the mind of Christ or believe in Jesus, you have a dangerous mind? You actually bring fear to the enemy just by the way you think. And hopefully, it's amazing. It doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. That's what's so amazing is here I was saved, a Christian for 30 years, and I realized when I met Pastor Juergen, I was weak sauce. I mean, I walked in with some stinking thinking that I had to renew that I didn't even know I had. What you think about, you bring about. I was not bringing about the things that I wanted to bring about because of some mindsets I had, because of the understanding I didn't have in the Word of God. But how could I be raised in church, amazing Christian family, that was felt powerless, and I never saw power show up. I never saw healing show up. Yet I have this amazing mom and dad that fearfully and wonderfully reminded me daily I was made in the image of God, even while I was train wrecking my life. But yet I come and I meet a pastor from Australia that was speaking life into me, that started to shift the way I thought to the point where I didn't think it was possible. And with a critical spirit, was looking for this pastor to fail me for an entire year. But after I realized what he preached on Sunday was how he lived on Monday, how he lived on Tuesday, how he lived on Wednesday, all that marriage that he talked about really is epic. He really does love it. I have to think, what do I want out of life? And fast forward 13 years later, if you would have told me I was going to be leading church, I'd have laughed in your face and asked you where you take communion. Because it's not juice. And I'm telling you, everything in my life is about what I'm about to preach right now. The revelations, the points, everything is, I'm not preaching because of something that I heard or some theology or a good sermonette on sermons.com. This message came out of how I have lived and how I have developed into this Confessions of a Dangerous Mind, because when I started to see my first friend healed, when I started to see people coming on a Sunday that came in broken, lost, and confused, leaving with power and authority and dominion and changing their life, changing their marriage, changing their finances, and living an inspired life, I realized, oh, the church can be the light of the world, not the depression of the world. Oh my gosh. I just was in different soil, but now that I'm in this house under this soil, I need to start thinking differently. So these are the things that it was my journey that made me realize that I can be bold as a lion. If any of you follow me on Instagram, I apologize. Sometimes it's a little much, but I post a lot about lions. I named one of my companies, you know, the Lion Chasers, based on a book. And I realized, man, I have an affinity. I should study, why did God all throughout the Old Testament use the image or speak of a lion? I love it. The Bible mentions the word lion 155 times in the Old Testament alone. When I looked up the semblance of it and what is it trying to say, a mighty lion in the Word of God is regal and fearless, known as the king of the beasts. He possesses courage and confidence, and he refuses to retreat. Even when there's a threat or an attack, the roar can be heard from miles away. It's a symbol of fearlessness, strength, and invincibility. Lions are bold. And it brings me to the Word of God in Proverbs 30:30, describes a lion as mighty among beasts who retreats before nothing. In Proverbs 28:1, it says, the wicked flee when no one is looking, but the righteous, you and me, believing in Christ, are as bold as a lion. Do we wake up bold? How do we take that authority of what does that look like? And there's just three key points I want to give you. But I love it in that verse in 28:1. It says, another version says, the wicked flee when no one is chasing them. And it's amazing how many people I know that can live in fear whether they're Christian or not. And today my hope is to give you a revelation on what bold as a lion looks like in your life. I've been the other Christian where I was not bold as a lion and I don't like the fruit. I've been around men and women that got the revelation that we're called to be as bold as a lion, and I've seen the fruit, and I'm telling you, I've had them both. This one's better. So today, this is an impartation, a transformational experience, not a jacuzzi experience, that you'll walk in transformation of the word that is a now word for this house to become bold as lions. if you're going to take a city, if you're going to be the light of the world, if you're going to stand up for the things that need to be standing in a world of chaos, boldness is what we're going to impart today. You might be thinking, oh, man, how much longer does he have to do this? 25 minutes. So really looking at why do some people come in a certain way, it came down to two things. Why are we either operating in spiritual boldness or the lack of spiritual boldness? The lack of is really two things to make it super simple. One is we've been operating in fear, or number two is we simply don't know where to start. It's not that hard. Now, if we're operating in fear, it's because of a mentality we're usually raised by. We're a product of our preachers, teachers, upbringing, parents, whatever it may be, maybe some inner vows, maybe a setback, and then we made an agreement with that, and now fear has been our operating mindset. But if we can renew and break that mindset, we can walk into these 3 points. So the 3 points, just so I can give them to you, no matter which way we go today, the number one is be bold in asking. The second one is be bold in acting, taking action in it. And the third one is bold in authority. Those are it, the 3 points. And we'll work it out and find out which one you need today. Are you guys with me? Come on. So the first one is just knowing this. The one thing we need to know about today, Jesus didn't die and defeat all of hell to have us quivering in the corner today. He gave us dominion and all authority. I never knew that. I always heard a message about the power of Jesus, but not the power that I was supposed to have. But when the revelation came that he gave us dominion and all authority, but we have to operate in it. So my goal is to help you operate and activate these 3 principles to get you to have a revelation and understanding of what dominion and authority looks like in your life today, moving forward, so you see the fruit of it in your marriage, in your finances, in your business, in your ministry, in your faith. It's like a muscle. And we're just going to work it out, a little boldness workout today, like CrossFit C3, Bridgman Downs, right here for boldness. So number one, be bold in asking. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne room of grace that we may obtain it. Hebrews 4:16. Mercy, find grace to help us when we need it the most. You know, prayer was a big thing for me. I never knew how to pray. I came to a church. I heard Pastor Juergen preaching. And then we go through the Book of Miracles, very similar to the prayer cards today. What was amazing was, I'll never forget when we're in worship one day and he turned and leaned to me and he said, hey, you want to pray for the Book of Miracles? I suddenly found the urge to find the restroom for an extended amount of time because I saw fear rise up. I didn't know how to pray over the Book of Miracles. I just started attending your church 3 months ago. Who are you to hand me a Book of Miracles and think I can get up there and pray? But it wasn't the revelation I had until I needed a friend that needed prayer, that I wanted to take on that ownership of learning how to pray as a Christian. So never, first of all, I just remembered leading, I was barely good at leading silent prayer over dinner by myself. I remember growing up and my mom would always tuck us in and pray for us, good Christian family, and my mom would always make my dad pray over dinner. That's it. That was my revelation on the power of prayer. So I had none. But the revelation on boldness came because I'm like, man, Jesus was bold about going to the cross. He was bold about being punished. He was bold about accepting my sin. So why I can't be bold just to honor him? And guess what? That still wasn't enough for me. I knew it was the right thing I knew. God was working on my heart. I need to learn how to be bold just to honor my King who was bold for me. But that in my brain, intellectually, that sounded good. But in my heart, I still couldn't get myself to pray. What was the trigger? It's money. It's amazingly becomes all about you. But my friend was in the hospital. Never came to C3. Had lunch with Pastor Juergen and I, but never been to C3. And I remember his wife calling me from the hospital, saying, hey, my husband wants you to come pray for him. Thank you. That's exactly what I did. That's perfect. That, by the way, that was not planted, but that is a little, that's exactly what I did on the phone. I laughed and I said, just because I go to that church doesn't mean I know what I'm doing. And she says, we'll figure it out. We need a miracle. And you believe in miracles now. We've been watching your life for the last 3 months, and there's something different about you. The way you carry yourself, the way that you talk about the messages that you're hearing, the way that you are talking about scripture, we need that. And they faith believing in Jesus going to church. Man, I saw the email go out to like 20,000 people that the wife sent it out to, but she called me. So I called Pastor Jurgen. I said, you know, this is your fault. I need you to come pray for my friend we had lunch with. And he goes, I'm at LAX, about to fly back down to Australia. I can't come. So I said, oh, that's great. And he goes, we'll call Mark Peterson, the guy that just moved from Australia to serve under me at church. He knows how to pray, and he believes in the miraculous. I'm like, I just shook his hand at church. Long story short, I called him because I had no other options. That's it. Not because of my faith. No other options. I called this man who on the phone doesn't even really know me, said, of course, I'll be there. Shows up at my office 6 p.m. that night, says, I got a word for your friend. He's going to get healed. I'm thinking to myself, who says that? Who says that? Where is my level of faith? My friend was bold enough to ask in me. I was bold enough because I had a choice to call Pastor Jurgen, who this sent me Pastor Mark, who I'm thinking to myself, I don't know why a stranger would come pray for someone he doesn't know in a hospital. Different level of boldness on the inside of him that I wanted. He came in, took authority in a room, said, you guys believe in the power of prayer and miracles? He was having kidney failure. They wanted to take out his kidney. He can live on one kidney. All this thing was set up. They were doing a biopsy the next morning, and then they were going to schedule surgery for a failing kidney in the hospital 4 days at this point. He looks at my friend in the bed and read an Isaiah scripture and said, God told me, we're going to prophesy and pray for you, and you will be healed. And I'll never forget, everyone's face was like, oh, shoot. This man took authority in a room. As he started praying and declaring things, I was closing my eyes with my hands stretched out like a good, faithful Christian would, with no belief on the inside of me. And I watched something radical happen. I started almost crying. Well, I was crying like daddy's little girl. And I opened my eyes out of embarrassment just to see how I could get out of the room because I was crying so hard, not knowing that was my first encounter with the presence of God hitting a room. As I opened my eyes and looked to the left and looked to the right, I saw every other person in that room, mostly family, bawling. And then he looked and said something, and I'll never forget, with boldness, stared at my friend and said, you asked for that biopsy tomorrow, or you asked for that blood test tomorrow. You won't be doing that biopsy. And his wife at the time said, well, we already have that biopsy scheduled, blah, blah, blah. And he goes, if you want to see a miracle, ask for the blood test. First of all, if you know who this person is, you don't tell her what to do. They are now our central campus, largest campus of C3 San Diego, pastors that oversee this, Pastor John and Becky. But let me tell you why. It's because they declared a thing right there, my friend, that had the faith for it. They did a blood test the next morning, came back normal. They said it was a mistake. Did another one, normal, said it was a mistake. Third time, normal, said it was a mistake. He was released the next day in the name of Jesus. Now, it took a bold asking. And what I want to say about that is, for here is, we have not because we. I need this church to start asking for bigger things, each and every one of you. And I want this church. I'm not saying big church right here. See, what happens is, how God furthers the missions of the church is through you individually. And how he does it, if he enlarges your territory individually and you have a heart for him, guess what he does to the church? And I know you're a part of a generous church because I know your leaders who bleed generosity. They bleed relational living. And what happens is, when you come to a place that's about, cares about you, cares about your breakthrough, cares about your asking, we got to get a bigger ask on the inside of us to start dreaming bigger, like my friend who just had enough faith. The emails went out. Everyone was praying. But then God stirred his wife, him through his wife, said, go ask Dr. Matt. But I still folded like a deck chair. But I was determined to see a breakthrough. I asked my pastor, because he's a man of faith, who then asked for a relationship that showed up, prayed. Everything changed from that point forward, knowing that I wanted to learn how to pray like that. He was released from the hospital. Obviously, they ended up coming to our church, and obviously they run. But let me tell you, Pastor John can move in a move of God because of who he knows Christ to be. He is bold because he was boldly healed in a hospital room. We left that place. I got in my car. I'll never forget driving. My mind was warped. And I said, what just happened? And he goes, we could have cleared out that entire hospital floor. And I believed him in the moment. Where'd you learn how to pray like that? He gave me 3 books. Prayer Evangelism, Prayer Revival by Cho, and God's Generals. I devoured them. I read them in 2-3 days. I then started a prayer meeting, not because I thought I'd be spiritual. I started it because I didn't know how to pray and I wanted to learn how to be more bold. In that prayer meeting, stuff started to stir. I went from 5 guys to 20 guys to so many guys that I actually had to believe for a bigger house, which I got because of my boldness and my asking. And what I want to just give you some language around it, what does that look like? Why does prayer, what does it matter? Listen, there's a difference between these words, and I want you to get it. Expecting versus wishing. This church is expecting big things this year because guess what? You're expecting big things this year. It's about asking, not begging. It doesn't say come into the throne room begging. It comes in with boldness asking. The last one is knowing, not hoping. My brother in the Navy SEALs, part of the largest, elite forces in America, I mentioned one time, hey man, I'm praying for you. I hope it goes well. And he says, in my line of work, hope is never a good strategy. Touche. Okay. I know it will go well. Oh, dear Lord. Getting corrected, my brother, who could beat me? But it was a defining moment for me because I realized I don't just want to hope for things. I want to know for things. I want there to be a knowing in my spirit that this person will be healed in the name of Jesus. I want a knowing in my spirit that this financial breakthrough is coming. There's a difference between a hoping something happens and a knowing, which comes into a knowing, which means you're going to be number two, bold in acting. See, a lot of people have been asking. But the next part of this is a boldness in acting. See, the woman of the issue of blood was sitting there hoping and praying and going out doing the things that she knew of and asking to be healed for so many years. But it was the acting out. She heard Jesus was coming to town. She knew there was a great multitude of people that she would have to fight through, crawl through, maybe be embarrassed that she would touch and have to grovel and get on her hands and knees. And in Jerusalem, when I was there, this epic picture of this woman on her knees touching out, and there's a spark of light at the hem of his garment. So powerful. They say that in that picture in Israel, near Galilee, where this picture was, hanging in this museum, that people have come in there in wheelchairs and left them after sitting, staring, understanding the revelation and praying, that people have been healed just by the understanding of that right there in prayer. And this is a Jewish instructor telling the story of this woman with the issue of blood, and miracles are still happening today because of the faith and belief and the boldness of people asking, God, if you did it for her, do it for me. Leaving stuff behind 2,000 years later. It is good. And it's amazing that if we can understand that power of acting. It's amazing sometimes we've been believing for a thing. Even people right here, right now. In my spirit, I can feel you've been asking for a thing. But God is nudging you today saying, I know you've been asking and I hear your prayers. But I need you to move. And when you move, he moves. That woman had been doing everything and asking for healing and praying for healing. But when she heard Jesus was coming to town, she acted in a new way. And that acting got her healing. There's something going on right here. Be bold in acting. But be doers of the word and not hearers only. James 1:22. Have you ever noticed that miracles most often occur among people who are bold about God? Boldness and the miraculous are so closely tied together. I love this. That some people try to act bold just to get things to happen, but it doesn't work. The boldness comes from a knowing in your spirit and acting on the word of God. So today there's just going to be this shift, and sometimes it's just a small shift of a different level of knowing. Not hoping, but knowing. That gets us to activate something in our spirit to get the breakthrough we've always wanted. I love this. In Hosea 10:12, it says, sow into righteousness for yourself. Self-leadership is an amazing thing. You know, I studied leadership a long time. But what I've learned is no one's really talking about self-leadership. What does it take to motivate ourselves? Why do we need to pay someone else to motivate us when we're trying to get something done for ourselves? And when I was reading this article on Yongi Cho, largest church in the world, 830,000 people, over 40,000 connect groups. He has a prayer mountain. And on that prayer mountain, there's a minimum of 15,000 people at any given time, 24 hours a day. Up to 30,000 people on a mountain, they now have to take time slots of when you can go pray on prayer mountain. And when people were in this interview talking about, oh my gosh, I can't believe you pray 3 hours a day, they were getting enamored in this pastor conference about him praying 3 hours a day. And of course, he's going to have the largest church in the world. You pray 3 hours a day. And he stopped him. And he says, you think I pray 3 hours away, 3 hours a day because of what God is doing for me? I prayed 3 hours a day when I was Buddhist, but I had no fruit. When I found out who my Savior was, I just kept up the discipline of prayer and the fruit came. See, we could over-spiritualize this thing like, oh, young, he has all this thing. Dude, how are we going to do it? No, no, he already had the discipline of it, but no power behind it. When he put that discipline, and I feel that's a word for somebody, you've been wanting to do this thing, but there's been no discipline. And the acting of this next level of what God is calling you to do, you're going to see the fruit of it like you've never seen before. It's time to step into that. Sow into righteousness for yourself. This putting your faith into action, I just want to tell this story about it. I'll never forget, I was going to this next level, and I was believing God for something. And I was pressing in. And I felt God say, if you do this, I'll do this. I was like, wow, I'm stepping out in boldness. So I never forget, I got a group of men together, I prayed about it, and I saw a shift happen. And on the other side of it, there was this big financial blessing. I'm like, oh my gosh. And then, growing up in a Christian family, I'll never forget, my dad's like, oh, never have flashy things, never have this. It was really a poverty mentality. And I remember God was telling me about my poverty mentality and telling me, if I'm going to get you to operate in the things that I want for you, you're going to have to release some of the stinking thinking around money that you have. And that is why when I came to C3, every time Pastor Jurgen would get up and speak about the tithe, I would get tweaked in my spirit. But because of the fruit I was seeing in every other area, I put up with it. But it wasn't until I had the revelation that God was trying to get something through me, I had to change my mindset around finances and blessing and being generous. The minute that penny dropped, the minute I watched abundance flow, I'll never forget this thing lined up. And then God said to me, I know you have a dream car, go get it. I was like, my first thought was, I better not tell my dad. So I immediately went down in faithfulness and bought my new Porsche. And this is, I'm still in the marketplace, had nothing to do with ministry, just attending church. And the blessing I was able to bless was amazing. And I love the Porsche. But here's what's amazing about it. 2 years and 7 months later, God showed me, you're operating in that spirit of manna again. I'm not having a poverty mentality. Look, I'm driving a Porsche. I'm opening up all these businesses. What do you mean? He goes, no, it's the other side. It's now materialism. Does that Porsche have your heart? And I had to really check myself, and it was amazing. Because the spirit of manna has two sides. One side's poverty. The other side is materialism. Same spirit. I was operating here, but now the enemy swung me this way. I immediately went and sold my Porsche. And I'll tell you what happened because of that. All these other areas, I was walking in blessing and financial provision because God knew where my faithfulness was. And then he took me through a season of spiritual maturity on how to handle greater wealth because I was obedient there. Whereas my pinnacle was thinking, I want to have a Porsche. That was the mountaintop experience. But how many know God took me back through a valley to get to a higher mountaintop of blessing? And this is before ministry. This is just, I was serving the house of God, just 100% marketplace. But I want to tell you is the revelation around finance came because of my obedience in bold and acting. Now, did I want to sell my Porsche? No. But I did it out of obedience, and I watched the blessing follow it. Same thing with my house. I read the book Circle Maker. And I realized that there was this faithful testing, and God was saying, you've been obedient with the house that you're in now, done it with ministry, done it with prayer, done it with everything. It's time for a new season because you're starting a family. So I went and looked, and when I pulled up to this neighborhood, I saw this house. And I never looked at the price tag, and I said, wow, that's the one. I felt it in my spirit for the first time. And when I got out, I looked at my wife, and I said, babe, we got to circle this like the book says, Circle Maker. It's Old Testament. Let's do it. Mark Batterson wrote that book. I jumped out of that car, helped my wife over the fence. She only circled it once, by the way, and I get it. I was making her climb fences. Put her in my driveway. She circled 7 times. I kept circling it. But people ask all the time, I always say, God's given you a dream. God's shown you a thing. How bad do you want it? You know why most people don't step out to get it? They care what other people think. And I want to tell you about today, if God's telling you and nudging you to do a thing, why does it matter what the person on your left and right think? I knew it was from God. I got out. We circled that thing. I didn't care what the neighbors thought. I didn't care that I looked like an idiot walking this thing. No one lived there, don't worry. But I was thinking to myself, man, if the neighbors see this random guy jumping this thing, they're going to look ridiculous. When I called the real estate agent to inquire about it, she thought it was ridiculous. When I told my real estate agent about how God downloaded the exact offer, she says, there's no way, that's embarrassing. I'll never do that offer. Now, I had a choice to make right there. I can either listen to everybody else because of their opinions and what they were telling me, but God already showed me if I act, I will have it. I'd been asking for a new house. I'd been asking for the right one. God gave me an image, a picture, everything. When I pulled up in that neighborhood, I saw my house. Now it's bold in acting. What am I going to do? I actually had to call my mom, who was a real estate agent, who was an hour and a half flight away, like Sydney to here. And my mom said, I love your faith. I'm jumping on a plane. She came down. She made the offer. I lost my relationship in our church with this real estate agent because she would not put the offer in because she cared about what the other people would think about her instead of my dream, except my God story, except what God was sharing with me. But my mom, who believed in me, said, I'll put the offer in. Not only did we put the offer in, it was accepted. And the real estate agent on the other side was radically impacted due to my faith, went back to church because of it, got her father that was a retired Navy SEAL, 70 plus years old, got him saved about 2 months before he passed away, all because of the boldness of faith, and God did a miracle to get this house. And I'm telling you, there's some people in here today that God has given you, shown you, and told you things, but there's some resistance on what will people think. Or you're listening to someone else that doesn't have the belief that God gave you to have. God is speaking to you, not them. There's some of you that are getting unlocked in generosity. Just like with me, my Jewish accountant said, I see how much money you're giving to the church. I'm going to ask you to throttle back a little bit because it's a little out of control. And I said, I know you don't understand it, but can you understand anything else in my life? He goes, no, nothing makes sense. I said, exactly. So I'm going to keep doing what I know to unlock provision. And he goes, well, if this keeps happening, I'm going to end up coming to your church. 5 years later, it keeps happening. He goes through a divorce, and guess who comes to church? He's still working out his religiosity, but he's starting to understand the provision and relationship with Jesus. I tell you that because your life is a light in a dark world. And when we start acting out the boldness that God's put on the inside of us, people will start to take notice because they see something's different about you. We are called to walk in that boldness. I love it. You know, 25% of all the miracles that Jesus had to do with was getting people delivered. How bold is that? That's boldness, the next level boldness. Do you use words like could have or would have or should have? I love it. I want to tell this story. There's this guy in New Orleans that he was sitting there, he was preaching, and in the middle of preaching, and from a preacher's standpoint, when you're in the middle of something, you don't want to be interrupted. But I love this, Jesse Duplantis. He was boldly ministering, and in the middle of his service, he stops. And he says, I know there's someone in the audience and you have a black scar on your chest and it's bothering you right now. And God says, if you walk up here, he'll take it from you. No one came up. So he went back to preaching, but the Holy Spirit didn't let up on it. He boldly stopped again. He says, there's someone here with a black scar and I'm not going to preach again until you come up. 3 minutes, 4 minutes, 5 minutes. He says, I know you're here, God. The Holy Spirit is telling me right now. Finally, a guy runs down to the front. Jesse Duplantis rips his shirt open. Huge scar right here. And it's 69 years old, preaching the gospel. It bothers you. God wants to take it. Come up. He'll do it. He came out. Boldness rose up on the inside of that pastor. Don't tell me church isn't exciting. I mean, that level of boldness, everyone was staring. In front of thousands of people, he got prayed for, and the scar immediately went away. Revival broke out. Hundreds of people got healed, saved, restored because of one pastor's boldness to not move in a meeting so someone could get healed. That was for that one man, but that one man's healing unlocked thousands. What I'm telling you today, your boldness sometimes is just for you. But that boldness getting unlocked will have other witnesses around you that inspires their faith to cross the line. So it's really not about you. What's amazing is when we serve another man's vision, God gives us our own vision. And what happens is when we lose sight of the vision that's been out in front of us because the enemy who's been intimidating us and shutting us down, sometimes we need to hear breakthrough God stories of other people in this house to get our courage back, to get our faith back, to get our boldness back, to bringing us to the last point as bold in authority. Resist the devil and he will flee from you in James 4:7. I love this because authority is such an interesting thing. Because the enemy tries to intimidate the church to stay out of things. Don't be too culturally relevant. Hey, stay in this box. Don't step outside the box. Oh, now you're getting too bold. That's why you always want to pray for your pastors. The level of warfare, the level of, they're the tip of the spear, piercing the darkness. And your prayers are what push back the kingdom of darkness. Your prayers matter. That's why having a bold church that knows how to pray shifts culture, shifts atmospheres, and gets breakthrough in your own life. What I love about it is when you are, if I got out in the middle of your traffic here and I tried stopping a car, you know, how many know the percentage is high, I'm going to get hit. But I could put on a uniform of an officer with a badge, step out there. How many know traffic's going to stop? That's called knowing authority. See, the devil tests your authority. Are you just trying to step up? Or are you trying to step up in a son or daughter of Christ, knowing your authority with dominion, that the enemy's been defeated and you're just going to stand there and remind him? When the enemy knows that you know that he's already been defeated, how many know he's a coward and he will flee? But so many Christians have lost that authority, have lost that understanding that the victory's already been won, so we're not operating in that power and authority. The same thing is true for us as the believers. We have to have that understanding that we're the son and daughter of an almighty God. I love these verses. What do you see when you look in a mirror? That's why I love the word of God. You got to make declarations until you believe it. With my mind mastery cards, I just put them up and I read them over and over and over again. And they're declarations of who I am in Christ. Not that I wanted to come up with some, but there wasn't ones out there. I used to listen to Pastor Phil's Promises app on the phone. And it was his incredible Aussie voice reading scriptures. And I would go to bed every night listening to him, rewiring my brain, believing that all things are possible. And it was amazing what those scriptures did for me. And I went from just listening to speaking them, to believing them, to standing in authority with them. It matters what you listen to. Joshua 1:9, be strong and courageous. And I said it in the last service, and I know it's for you. And in 1:7, it says, above all else. Above all else, be strong and courageous. In Deuteronomy 1:21, the Lord has placed the land before you. Go take it. Who are people that are trying to own homes right here? You don't need to move to somewhere cheaper. You just need to believe in a resource that has your back. Do you believe it today? Get around other people that have had victory in buying homes. Get around them. You know, I go up to people when I hear bold faith. I'm not going to rub up on Pastor Andrew because I can't get that high. He's much taller. But I look for people that have an impartation, a healing anointing, a victory over finances. I get next to him. God, if you did it for him, do it for me. If you did it for her, do it for me. I build my own faith. I am encouraged by the breakthrough in your life. Do you share your breakthroughs? It's not bragging. It's bold faith. Do you share your victories with one another at your groups? Always share God stories. Your God stories are the key to unlock other people. If it's good enough for them, it's good enough for you. It's the same Heavenly Father that loves you. He doesn't play favorites. He's just waiting. Are you asking? Are you acting? Do you know your authority I've given you, says the Lord. Deuteronomy 31:8. The Lord himself goes before you. He is with you. That's a reminder for somebody today. The difference how we come to the throne room will determine whether you take possession of what you need and walk, whether it's a handful or a hand empty. It's how you enter the throne room. As I wrap it today, I just want you to know that boldness is not begging. It's not pleading. It's not wishing. It's not hoping. Boldness is a knowing. God is shifting some people into a new level of knowing here today. What I love this church is a faith-filled church. People are being stirred in their boldness. God wants to do a new thing in your life. I feel the touch of God in this place, that softening hearts that have just been going through the motions coming to church. And right now I see God is breaking the fallow ground. Right now, some of even the softening is trying to get seed in for a while now, but there's been a hardening because of letdowns in the past. But you're in a good house with a good shepherd that loves you, that wants to see your breakthrough. The understanding is knowing your authority is like, an example would be going to your house tonight. You own it. You don't go to the front door every day and beg God to let you in, or could you have the house one more time? You've already owned it. Knowing your authority, that you're just going to walk in, open the fridge and crack one open, is what God's trying to say. You're already my son. You're already my daughter. Know the authority I've given you. This is your world. This is your city. This is your town. You have authority and dominion to rule and reign in this place. I've set you here in this city for a reason, for such a time as this.
We hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to respond to this message in any way, or would like to talk to one of our pastors, please email us at inquiries@c3bd.com. Or for any more information about our church and the events we have coming up, please go to c3bd.com. Have a great week.